Holy is the Lord, we cry.
We cry, holy.
Hallelujah.
We cry, holy. We cry, holy.
Father, we thank you for your wonderful presence in our midst. Thank you for honoring us with a tangible manifestation of your sweet presence. We don't take it for granted. We're grateful. We honor you. Thank you. We enter your word with this same atmosphere of thanksgiving, worship, and reverence, humbling ourselves under your mighty hand, fully conscious that the human mind is incapable by itself of unraveling the infinite wisdom that has been compressed into the written word. Consequently, we ask for help, supernatural assistance, fresh unction and anointing from heaven. Firstly, upon my heart and my lips, that indeed I would speak as I should as an oracle of God. Secondly, upon the ears and the hearts of everyone that is hearing me here physically present, and those who will hear me remotely electronically, so the word will flow freely from you through me to the people, to do an internal and eternal work in every heart, including my own. Cause our wills to become more humble, minds to be more enlightened with revelation knowledge, emotions to be more controlled by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. We pray as I speak, the power of the Holy Spirit in great measure be released to follow these words wherever they are heard and released in all the earth. Power that will heal, power that will deliver, power that will break yokes, power that will free men, so that indeed they will become doers of the things which they hear and not hearers only. Further pray for mercy to be faithful as I deliver the word. Oh my God, that indeed I will do it with precision. I will redeem the time and say only what you want me to say. Bring out the treasure of this word, things new and old, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And all those in agreement with me, receiving every blessing I mentioned while I was praying, agreed and said,
Amen.
This afternoon I am going to be speaking on a very simple but important and vital topic. And I've called it being strong in faith. I've taken this phrase as a continuation of what I preached on Easter Sunday about the resurrection in Abraham and Sarah. And in Romans, the 4th chapter, and we'll read from verse 17. This is talking about Abraham's experience. And the scripture tells us that we should look to Abraham and Sarah, the rock from whence we were hewn, because they represent to us a type of every Christian man and woman in the end time that can and should experience what Abraham and Sarah experienced. Not to have a baby, not just to have a baby, though that could be included, but so that we can experience the life of God being made manifest in our mortal flesh, or what you can call a resurrection while inside the body. Literally, that's what happened to Abraham and Sarah. Because Abraham's body, the scripture says, was as good as dead. Sarah's womb was dead. But both the body and the womb were resurrected. They were given new life after death. That's what a resurrection is. When somebody dies, then you raise them from the dead. You say they are resurrected. Now, this is not the resurrection of the glorification of the body, but this is a resurrection of the life of God now being made manifest inside the physical body. Now, to follow the example of Abraham, we need to study carefully the steps that Abraham took that caused that experience to become his own. It was not automatic. He did it by faith. And the scripture tells us how he did it. And that's what we want to look at in more detail today. As it is written, I didn't hear you. Don't your neighbor say, I who? Say, I, God,
hallelujah,
have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who, give me New King James just because of this. New King James. Thank you. God, who gives life to the dead. That's what resurrection is. And calls those things which do not exist as though they did. Let me just stop here and put us into remembrance of the scene at the throne, at the tomb of Lazarus. I said this last Sunday, it bears repetition. I find it amazing and extremely instructive and inspiring what Jesus did that day. Apart from raising Lazarus from the dead, which was wonderful, he said, I am the resurrection and the life. And he had not yet been resurrected. Give the Lord a clap offering. Hallelujah. He said, what was he doing? He was calling what was not as though it was. The resurrection was still at least 1 week ahead from that time. Probably a little bit more than 1 week. Because he was arrested, you know, just a few days after that. You know, probably less than a week. You know, he said, he didn't say, I'm going to be. He didn't say, I'm believing. He said, I am. What was he doing? Doing exactly what the Bible says. He was calling the Lord Jesus, was calling. He was not the resurrection yet. He hadn't yet been raised from the dead. Yet he said, I am not going to be. That's what the point he was trying to get across to Martha. Believe I'm the Christ. Yeah, I believe you are the Christ. All of us do that. We believe we're the Christ. Believe you'll be raised, you know, you, on the last day. Yeah, but do you believe that I am now? The resurrection and the life. Oh, let's put it this way. Do you believe that now I have power to raise the dead? Very important aspect of faith. We'll see this as we go on. Verse 18. Go to the New International Version. I prefer it there. So the best translation in this particular portion of scripture. Against all hope, Abraham, in hope, believed, and so became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring, the King James says, your seed be. Next verse, still in the New International. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Next verse. Now, switch back to King James. I like this, but the King James says, he staggered not. Oh my God. Everybody say it out loud. At the promise of God through unbelief. Turn to your neighbor and say, unbelief will make you stagger. It will make you waver. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was what? Strong in faith, giving glory to God. Hence my topic, being strong in faith. Being strong in faith. Being, everybody say being. And tell your neighbor, say that's present continuous. Strong in faith. We must learn how to remain strong in faith. Faith comes. It grows. It can be strong. It can be weak. It can be great. It can be small. The Lord Jesus teaches us. Peter, working on water. And Peter actually walked on water. He did. Well, not for very long. Because he took his eyes off the Lord Jesus and put his eyes on what was temporal. And beginning to sink, he cried, Lord, save me. And the Lord just walked up to him underwater and grabbed him and said, O ye of little faith, watch this. Wherefore didst thou doubt? The doubt that came into his heart weakened his faith. So his faith was no longer strong. When he came out of the boat, it was. That's what made him walk on the water. But within a few, maybe a minute, or a few seconds, or some seconds, maybe not a few, but maybe 30 seconds, maybe 45, you know, his faith had gone from strong to weak. Because he had allowed doubt to creep in. So the question is, how do we stay strong in faith? Let's even go a step further and say, how do we get strong in faith? You know, first of all, you need to get strong in faith. Then you can stay strong in faith. In order to understand this better, we need to understand what faith is. This is fundamental. We should all know this as Christians. But you'd be amazed, Pastor G, how many of us forget what faith is. You know, because we're living in a world that is saturated with unbelief. The prince of the power of the air. Unbelief is endemic in the earth and amongst many Christians. Hello? Oh, yeah. You have to go a long way to find true faith. Do you know what Jesus said? I love the Lord Jesus. You know what he said when he saw the centurion? He said, I have not found so great faith. No, not in Israel. That's the church. Israel is a type, you know, symbolic, spiritual. Israel is the church, or the church is spiritual Israel. You know? And today, same thing. Most Christians, you know, a little opposition, and they drop their faith. The faith becomes either weak or zero. Just because of some obstacle or difficulty, which is a part and parcel of the faith walk. For the scripture tells that faith is a fight. So I have to fight the good fight of faith, or my faith will get weak. And if I'm not careful, I might even lose it. Not lose my total faith in God, but I might lose my faith for what I am believing God for. Am I talking to anybody here? So let's review what faith is, and also what it is not. Maybe I should start with what it is not before I go to what it is. Hello? Faith is not presumptuousness. I was speaking earlier on, we were making an announcement about the medical examinations. Faith is not taking your medicine. Exactly. You know, you're not taking your medicine is not faith. I don't take my medicine because I have faith. Mm-mm-mm. You don't have faith, you have presumptuousness. That's not faith. Presumptuousness is the human assumption that God would do something based on your fantasy of what you think God is. You heard something about somebody and then you just go out and try and do the same thing. You know, many times that's not really faith. Because true faith... Now let's see what it is. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. And I want this in the Amplified Bible. As the best, this is the Amplified, is the best translation that I know gives us a very clear and comprehensive definition of what faith is. Now faith is! Turn to your neighbor and say, you're fixing to find out what faith is. Now faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see. This last part is the one I like the best. The conviction of their reality, faith, perceiving as real fact what is not yet perceptible or revealed to the senses. Give the Lord a clap offering. That is what faith is. Let me summarize that. So you need to get it. So you can know when you have faith and when you don't. Faith perceives. You can say sees. But it's not a physical seeing. You're seeing the invisible. Faith is convinced of the reality of what God has said, even when they cannot see it. No, wait. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. What gives them that conviction? The word conviction comes from the word convince. I convince you about something, then you say, aha, I agree, so I'm convinced about it. Hello, somebody. Faith is being convinced of the reality of what God has said, even though you cannot see it. Or let's put it this way, which is more general, because not only the eyes is just one of the physical senses, which is not yet perceptible to the physical senses, but you are convinced it's there. You are convinced it is there. You are convinced it is true. You are convinced it is real. When you are convinced that what God has said is real and true, then you have faith. When you are not convinced, you don't have faith. Q-E-D. Now, what makes you convinced that what God has said is true when you can't see it? Two things. Number one, and this is very important, is the integrity of God. Man is not a liar. So even though I can't see what he has said, because he said it, I'm convinced it is true because God is not a liar. Amen. The second thing is an offshoot of the first one. I am convinced of the reality of what God has said, firstly, and fundamentally because he has said it, and also because by revelation, I can see it in the realm of the spirit, even though I have not experienced it. This seeing comes as a result of spiritual light upon my mind. Now, that is where the great majority of Christians fail. Except, well, God is true, God is true. What God has said is true. You know, but after a while, the darkness of the human mind obscures that reality. You know what we call it? Doubt. When doubt creeps in, you know, doubt and darkness are the same thing. When there is faith, there is light in the mind, and the light in the mind is enabling you to see what God has said. When that light grows dark or dim, then you start having doubt. Then you're not seeing it clearly anymore. You now begin to say, is it there or is it not there? We're talking about being strong in faith. Having defined clearly, by the mercy and the grace of God, what faith is, how do I now stay strong in faith? The Holy Spirit gave me some things I want to share with us. I'm going to hit them running because of time. You know, this is not the only place where the Bible says you should be strong. Here he's talking about Abraham. He says Abraham was strong in faith, giving glory to God. I'm going to come to that in a minute. That's very important. But it also says, be strong in the Lord, Ephesians 6:10. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, in verse 1, he says, be strong in the grace. So when we're talking about being strong in faith, you have to be strong. Faith in what? Faith in
Watch this. Faith in the grace of God. And I thank God for giving us the revelation of the life of God. You see, you can't really understand grace if you don't understand life. To many people, grace is an abstract thing. Grace is just unmerited favor. Yeah, unmerited favor for what? Unmerited favor that gives life. Because life is the creative element that comes out of God that cannot create any other thing you want. So when you have faith in the grace of God, you're having faith in the unmerited favor of God to release life, to create what does not exist yet. So when he says, be strong in the grace, he's actually saying strong in faith. Because your faith is in the grace to create.
Amen.
Hold on, you are. He says, be strong in the Lord. Of course, it's the Lord who gives the grace. So it all, you see, one thing I've come to see is that the whole Bible is interwoven. So when you have revelation, when you have understanding, you realize that God is saying the same thing in just different ways. Am I talking to anybody here? So, now, there are three things I want to talk about faith, or four. You know, I'm going to, you know, qualify it with these four aspects of faith. They're all part of a big picture. Faith is seeing the invisible, and I put the seeing in inverted commas. That is, you see it, you know, by revelation. You perceive as real fact. You perceive. It's not a physical thing with your eyes. You perceive because of the light that is in your mind. That light in your mind is painting a picture, and you're seeing that picture, and therefore you are convinced of its reality. Then it is also speaking. You cannot talk about faith without talking. Because that is the whole MO of faith. MO means mode of operation. We go back to God. The Bible says through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. So that the things which are seen were made out of things we do not appear. How did God create light be? So he took what was not seen, his power and his life, put it in his mouth from his heart, and then when he spoke it, it now became what you can see.
Amen.
That's how faith operates. Are you listening to me? He created the heavens that way by the breath of his mouth, the scripture tells us. And I love this scripture. I have to go do it now. It's 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13. The other scriptures I could use, but I want to use this particular one given by Paul, because I like the way it's compact. It brings the truth out in a very compact form. He says, verse 13. We, having the same spirit or attitude of faith, according as it's written, I believe, therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. You cannot have faith without talking.
Amen.
We're getting there a little bit. So faith is seeing the invisible. Faith is speaking. The reality of that invisible thing into reality, into physical reality. Let's qualify reality. Reality is not only what we can see. See, that's our problem. The natural man, that's why he's natural. That means carnal. He's bound by his senses. So he thinks that only what is real is what he can sense. If he can't sense, he's not real. But we all know, even scientists know that's a fallacy. Amen. Electromagnetic waves, you can't see them. But tell me somebody, they're real, man. There's money in the air right now. The only problem is that you don't have the password. You don't have all the code. Amen. If you have the code, you have the password, you have an iPhone like I do, you can just move money now. Amen. But you know, the fact that that's true, it doesn't make it true for you. So faith is seeing the invisible realities and accepting them as real. Then faith is also saying them. But it's not. That's not the end of it. Faith is also praying them. I'm talking about being strong in faith. We'll get there in a minute. So, we see by revelation. We speak in faith by saying the word of God in our hearts. Then we pray. Look at Jude 1:20. It says, building up yourself on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. You know, sadly, this is an aspect of faith that is not taught as part of faith. See, most Christians think praying in tongues is just something you do, you know, separate from... It's an integral part of the faith exercise. Hello, somebody. Because you do not know what you should pray for as you ought after you have spoken. So when you now begin to pray in the Holy Spirit, He now takes what you have spoken and He begins to work around the circumstances and create, manipulating men and circumstances, create so that what you have said will come to pass. It's an integral part of the faith exercise. Hence the scripture says, but ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Now, this is not a theological meeting. I just tell you, pray in the Holy Ghost is tongues. Just take it from me. Praise the Lord. Because I know all kinds, you know, these arguments we used to have years and years ago. Some people still argue about it, but I'm sorry for you if you're still doing that. Because I tell you, the scripture says, you know, howbeit in the spirit he speaks mysteries. He that speaks not unto men, but unto God. So when you're speaking in tongues, you're speaking in the spirit. Anytime you see praying in the spirit is tongues. Amen. Whether you like it or not. Hello, somebody. Okay, so we're getting there. We're not there yet, but we're getting there. So we've got three things now. We've got seeing. Let's say seeing. Then we've got speaking. Then we've now got praying in the spirit. And there's the last one. Thanksgiving. That was what Abraham got. The Bible says, being strong in faith, he gave glory. Giving glory to God is saying thank you. Keep it simple, folks. Amen. That's the pastor. Where you get that from? Well, the Bible says so. Amen. Remember the leper? The 10 of them. And one came back. And the Bible says he fell at his feet giving thanks. And Jesus said, where are the other 9? Except this stranger who came to give glory to God. So Jesus called thanksgiving, giving glory. Give the Lord a clap offering. So when the Bible says Abraham was strong in faith, giving glory to God, he was giving thanks to God for what God had not yet done. He was giving thanks to God for what was not yet manifest. God counted it as being strong in faith. Now we've got all the 4. We can now put it all together. Am I helping anybody here? How then do you become strong in faith? Now we know what faith is and how it operates. So how are you going to be strong in faith? You have to be strong in seeing. You have to be strong in speaking. You have to be strong in praying. And you have to be strong in giving thanks. Give the Lord a clap offering. Keep it simple. You know, men have complicated all these simple things with all kinds of theology. That's how to be strong in faith. That's why. Now, go and do that checklist and check yourself. And you'll now see why you're not strong in faith. Are you strong in seeing? Are you strong in speaking? Are you strong in praying in the Spirit? Are you strong in giving thanks? The weakest a chain is only as strong as the weakest link. Take one link out of the chain and it breaks. That is why so many Christians are not strong in faith. See, today, tongues is very popular. But there's no singing. It's just talking. But there's no faith there in the heart. So it's not strong. So just praying in tongues without a faith base. Pray, building up yourself on foundation. You have to pray what you are seeing. Am I helping anybody here? Building up yourself on your most holy faith. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Praying in the Spirit must have a foundation of the Word that has brought faith into your heart. Not just praying sharp. I'm talking about being strong in faith. Hallelujah. I'm going to get to Abraham in a minute. Stay with me. This is good. It's good stuff, folks. I preach faith all the time, you know, for years and years. You know, but you know, the Word of God is always fresh. And then it gives you deeper insight. It's a greater level of clarity and revelation. I'm not telling you anything you don't know, but it's coming clearer. Are you listening to me? Amen. What I have said about tongues is also true about thanksgiving. People are trying to say thank you, Lord, but there's no faith base. I must be thanking God for what I am seeing, speaking, and praying. So I'm not just doing wishful thinking. Thank you. Am I talking to anybody here? It's a chain. It's an integral operation. Am I talking to anybody here? You got to operate this thing. That's how. Now let's get to Abraham as I begin to close. Am I helping anybody here? Amen. Yeah, we're coming to a place and have come. The hour is coming and now is where you must operate in faith. You must be strong in faith. Hence this prophetic message. It's a simple faith message, but he says, sons of Issachar had understanding of the times and what Israel ought to do. You ought to be strong in faith now. So that's why I'm removing all the ambiguity and the duplicity, and we want to make it straight. You know, single. So you know exactly what it is. Now, what did God do for Abraham? Now, don't forget, Abraham was in the Old Testament. So we're going to take some example, but it was not complete because we're now in the New Testament. A better covenant established upon better promises. Abraham could only use what he had in the Old Testament. And notice, Abraham was before the law. Remember my message, Joseph had no Bible. Abraham had no Bible. Abraham had no Bible. So how did he do this? Now that we have the Bible, how do we do the same thing Abraham did and better with the Bible? Anybody wanting to learn anything here? Okay, let's go. Go with me. Stay with me, folks. Are you listening to me? The first thing God did for Abraham was give him a picture. Abraham was 75 years old. He was, let's use today's expression, newly born again. He was just a baby, spiritually. Didn't know God. He was in, his people were idol worshippers. He came from Iraq. Only God knows if he was Saddam Hussein's great-great-great-grandfather. We'll only find out when we get to heaven. You'd be amazed. Amen. All the Iraqis are as much children of Abraham as the Israelis. That's why you should stop fighting. Another message for another day. Now, listen to me. Here, no Bible. There was no Bible at that time. So God had to use something to put a picture in his mind. So in Genesis, he took him, he told him, you will be a father of many nations. Abraham, this guy is a heathen. No, nothing. No, no God. No, no confession. No, nothing. So, yeah, well, okay, he home. You know. Yeah, God, yeah, thanks, you know, but how's this going to be? He wasn't 100 yet, so he was only 75. They've been married for some time. Only God knows when they got married. But I want to wager they probably got married in their 30s or 40s. So they've been married for 30 years. No child. So God comes to him and says, you are going to be the father of many nations. Everyone said, that sounds nice. Thank you, Lord. Come out. I came out. I'll show you a new land. Okay, let's go. So God says to him, so Abraham says this to God. It's in Genesis, I think, chapter 12 or 15. I'm preaching by the Spirit, you know, because it's in my heart. You know, you can help me get a scriptural reference. You know what Abraham told God? I didn't look this up in the Bible. It's right inside here. You know, I know it's in the Bible. He said, what shall you give me, seeing that I'm childless? So Abraham was seeing himself childless. So there was no faith there. Because faith is the conviction of the reality of what you don't see. So God had to change the picture. Seeing, that was what Abraham was seeing. I'm going to ask you a question. Even though I'm preaching this also in the context of the manifestation of the life of God being made manifest in our physical bodies, which is a great application, but it applies to every other area of your life. Being strong in faith, what are you seeing? What are you seeing in your heart? Seeing present continuous. I go childless. So God said, I got a problem here. So he said, come. So he takes him out and shows him, it was in the night, then shows him the stars in the constellation. Gave him a picture. No Bible, but a picture. Glory to God. Only God, okay? Only God. And he said, can you count the stars? Orion. And he began, wow. So shall thy seed be. Once he told the Bible says, and Abraham believed God. He accepted that picture. He was convinced of the reality of the fact of that picture. You know why? The God who made the stars will make the seed. That's why the scripture tells you, even you and I, now in the New Testament, you know, that we should look up for the heavens, declare the glory of God. Anytime you are doubting, you are tempted to doubt, look at your Bible and look up. The God who made the stars can make the seed. Glory to God. So in other words, so shall thy seed be. The Bible says, and Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. That's another message. But the point I want to make here is that God put a picture in Abraham's mind, so that any time Abraham looked at his body, looked at his circumstances, no child, he would look up and say, oh yeah, God is a child. It's coming. Now, how does that relate to you and I today? God hasn't come to Cardi and says, come and look at the stars, even though he's saying that. Amen. He gives you his word. And the pictures are in the word. That's why faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So you look at, by his stripes I'm healed. You look at, my God shall supply all of my need according to his riches in glory. And it paints a picture. Now, the point is, you have to keep that picture bright. Don't let it go dim. How do you keep it bright? The entrance of his word giveth light. That's why you need to come to church on Sundays like today. And hear the word. When you hear the word of God, it brings light into your mind. When you read the word of God, it brings light into your mind, and it will keep your faith strong. Stay out of the word. Stop listening to the word. Your faith will grow dim and it will become weak. Talking about being strong in faith. Am I talking to anybody here? The next chapter, when I say chapter now, I'm talking about the next episode in Abraham's life. After God had established the picture in his mind, and he kept that picture for 25 years. There were times it faded. There were times it was not so strong, and it was dim when he got Isaac and all the other rubbish that they did. Hello, somebody. Ishmael. You know, and that's why you got to be careful. You have to stay strong in faith. You know, and don't allow, you know. So God now said, we have to move to stage two. We have to now change what you're saying. So what you are saying now has to synchronize what you are seeing. So he says, let's keep it simple. I'll change your name. That's one way of making you say it daily. Hallelujah. Yeah, if I come and say, you know, make your confession 5 times a day. You say, that's too hard. So, okay, don't let's make it a laborious kind of thing. Let's keep it simple. Just change your name. So every time you say the name, amen, you're saying the faith. Your name shall no longer be Abraham. Abraham, you now become Abraham, the father of many nations. They kept saying that in 1 year their body changed. Amazing. Now, Abraham didn't have this extra we have. He didn't have the tongues. They didn't have tongues in the Old Testament. Amen. We have it now in the New Testament. But Abraham had the thanksgiving. So anytime he felt like a doubt or anything like that, he would look at the stars. He would remember. Then he would say, Abraham, he's giving me a new name. He'll say, Father, I thank you. Now watch this. Abraham faces the fact that his body is dead. He's 100 years old. But no problem. The God who made the stars can change my body. Glory to God. And that was how he stayed strong in faith. He stayed strong in what he was seeing. He stayed strong in what he was saying. And he stayed strong in thanksgiving. Give the Lord a clap offering. Hallelujah. So how do you stay strong in faith? Do the same thing. Look to Abraham and Sarah, the rock from whence you were hewn. Hallelujah. Amen. You go, start seeing the same thing. That's why it's good to be your pastor. I gave you certain instructions. Read your Bible every day. Read your Bible, pray every day. Pray every day. Pray every day. Read your Bible. If you want to grow. Simple song, but profound instruction. Be amazed how many people don't do it. Then I also gave some scriptures, glory scriptures, perfection scriptures. Why do you think I gave you? And I said, look at them every day. Keep the picture bright. Or you will start seeing the wrong thing. You stop reading your Bible. You stop coming to church. You stop looking at those things. Your faith will grow dim. You can't help it. You're living in a hostile environment. The place is full of unbelief. There's only one way to stay strong in faith. Stay in the Word. Keep hearing. Faith doesn't just come by hearing words. It comes by continuous hearing. Because it is a thing you have to... The light has to keep shining to keep the picture bright. What is doubt? I explained it earlier on. Doubt is when the picture grows dim. Because the faith, the Word is no longer coming in. You're not listening to the waves and the wind. He says, he that observeth the wind shall not sow. And you're listening to, don't let me say, I don't want to criticize anybody. I was going to say something, but God said, don't say that. You know, so they won't think I'm criticizing them. Hey, you listen to the world. You're listening to the radio and the TV and this. And God says, you know, I supply all of your need. You know, I'm going to make you rich. And then you're looking, depression is this, Naira is that. And that's coming into your heart. It's going to dim what God said. That doesn't mean you shouldn't listen to the reality. Abraham faced the fact. But what is in my heart is stronger. Watch what the great apostle Paul says. From this scripture, we have in the same spirit of faith. We believe and therefore we speak. Then I'll just jump a few scriptures. That's where he talks about life and all of those. But let me quickly just jump to the last scripture. It says, while we look not. I'm talking about how to operate in strong faith. While is while. It means it's something that is happening continuously. You see, I'm saying the right thing and at the same time I'm seeing the right thing. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. What I am seeing is more powerful than what I am seeing. I'm seeing two things. I'm seeing what is natural. I face the fact. Body is good as dead. But I'm also seeing the stars. And I'm seeing the glory of God. And I'm seeing the power of God. And what I am seeing in the realm of the spirit is what is controlling and shaping what I'm seeing in the physical. So what I'm seeing in the physical doesn't bother me. It is subject to change. You know, the other day, I'm doing some PhD research right now. And we're using the computer to simulate all kinds of crazy things. You know, I work with Praise and, you know, we're doing all kinds of, they're crazy. So let me just go into them now. You know, but you know, there was something that just came to me as I was looking at some, I was doing some reading yesterday and I was looking at some shapes of the molecules and, you know, atoms, the way they are configured. You know, we're trying to simulate some things to make more efficient solar cells. And you have to put some, you know, remove some elements like lead and put something like tin or beryllium or whatever, you know, into it. And then you simulate on the computer and see what I can give you better efficiency. Basically, that's what we're doing. But the point is this. As I was reading physics, you know, but as I was reading, God came to my heart. And you know what? I was reading a physics paper and I was saying, glory be to God. God is great. What is the difference between lead, tin, and beryllium? Configuration. So simple. Configuration. There's something called electronic configuration. It's a big word for arrangement. You know, academics, they like to bamboozle you. Just say arrangement. Arranging. Praise the Lord. Amen. So, Boshe, Tony, thank you, Larry. Keep it simpler. Do you understand? So, when you tow like this, when you arrange the atoms, the nucleons, the protons, you know, and the electrons in a particular manner, you get lead. You take the same thing. The substances are not different. The only thing is configuration. and you rearrange it in another way, you get 10. Now, it so happens, and this is one of the parts of our research that we're doing, it so happens that lead is poisonous. That's why they cannot mass produce it for solar cells. But it's actually a better and more efficient conductor than silicon that is presently in use. So, present cutting edge research is looking for a substitute for lead. I'm giving you my PhD thesis. We're now looking for a substitute for lead that will give us a higher efficiency and yet not be poisonous. We're simulating on the computer. Now, watch this. This is what God is saying. That lead which you are seeing is subject to change. If I just rearrange the electrons a little bit and put this one in this position and put this one, take this one from 5 nanometers or 5 angstroms and put it here and make it 6 angstroms and then change this one and then vary this one a little bit, I'm going to get a completely new structure that will give me what I want, the efficiency I want. Give the Lord a clap offering, somebody. Hallelujah. God is great. Oh, if you are a true scientist, you will give glory to God. If you don't give glory to God, you are a fake scientist. You are a pseudo-scientist. You are a dishonest scientist. I'm telling you the truth. I'm not talking to anybody here. That's what the Bible is talking about. The things which are seen, we can be reconfigured. Thank you, Kate. They can be rearranged. So you face the fact that your body is old, but you're going to be rearranged. Hallelujah. You face the fact that you have a headache and you are sick, but you will be rearranged. I'm not talking to anybody here. I don't run away from the facts. The facts are there, but they are subject to change. So I now take the truth and use it to change the facts. Facts can change, but truth is eternal. Thy word is truth. Give the Lord a clap of praise. Hallelujah. So, what are we doing? What are we doing? What we're doing now is that to be strong in faith, that's why revelation and understanding is critical. Critical. I understand that spiritual things are there. They're real. When they start getting unreal to me, it means that my light level is going down. So I go to the Word and feed on the Word. The entrance of the Word will give light. So I begin to see it clearly again. So to stay strong in faith, I must stay strong in the Word. Am I talking to anybody here? To stay strong in faith, I must stay strong in saying the Word. So I don't allow what is not the Word to come out of my mouth. Because if I do that, I'm disturbing my own rearrangement. If I keep saying what I am seeing, I'm keeping the old arrangement. We call it negative confession. You're just enforcing the status quo. But what you want to do is change it. To change it, you have to start saying what you cannot see. Because the power of what you are saying will now change what you see to what you cannot see, which is what you want. Am I talking to anybody here? Now, I'm going to close. Am I helping anybody here? Have I helped your faith this afternoon? That's my job. Glory be to God. That's what a good pastor does. He feeds them with knowledge and understanding. Glory be to God. He said, I will give you pastors after my heart that will feed you with knowledge and with understanding. Are you listening? Sit down. Glory be to God. Now, watch this. There's the third aspect of this, thanksgiving. Thanksgiving, koshele mengaras, is an integral part of prayer. watch Colossians 4:2. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Abraham clicked on that. So whenever he would look at the stars, then he would keep saying, "Abraham, father of many nations." And when they were saying, "Father, I thank you, you're working on it. I thank you, you're working on it." Let's say it this way: "Father, I thank you, you are rearranging it. It has not yet been fully arranged, but you are rearranging. So for the rearrangement, I'm saying, thank you, Lord." Thanksgiving takes faith operation out of the mechanical and makes it personal. I've never said it before, but it's the truth. See, you don't say thank you to a principle, you say it to a person. One of the reasons why a lot of faith guys get off track is that they get so bogged down in the principle and they forget the person. Thanksgiving makes you constantly conscious of the person that is making the principles work. Let's say it this way. It makes you constantly conscious and grateful to the person who is releasing the power that is causing the rearrangement. Yes, the rearrangement is coming through my confession and it's coming through my speaking in tongues, but it is not me who is doing it. There is a person that is supplying the power that is making the confession and the speaking in tongues to work. So I'm always saying, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you must never get out of your mouth. Hence the scripture says, and Abraham was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Hallelujah. Devote yourselves to prayer. Stay alert in it with what? Thanksgiving. Always put thanksgiving with your prayer. It makes prayer personal. Prayer without thanksgiving becomes mechanical. You know, then you start having faith in your faith. Instead of having faith in the God who gives you grace that makes your faith work. Shall we break it down again? I'll say it again. Amen. You should have faith in your faith. You have faith in the God who gives you grace that will make your faith work. So you go down the chain and get back to God. Yes, my faith is working, but the person who is making it work is the God to whom I am serving. You know what that does? It keeps you humble. So your faith is not in your faith. Your faith is in the God who gives you grace to make your faith work. Amen. It keeps you humble. You know why? The grace cannot come if you don't stay humble. One thing that has been missing from the faith message is humility. We always forget that what makes faith work is grace. And you cannot get grace unless you are humble. For God resisted the proud and gives grace to the humble. Stand to your feet, let us pray. Talk to God. Talk to God. See, my tongues is bringing revelation. That's what tongues is for. You know, it wants to make people think you're spiritual. Am I talking to anybody here? Amen. Being strong in faith. Don't leave this place and stay weak in faith. To whom much is given, much is required. The challenges that are ahead of us in the 21st century require Christians that are strong in faith. They are describing Joel's army. Says they are strong, not breaking rank. Don't allow doubt and unbelief. Now you know how they come. Doubt is simply an absence of faith. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. Doubt comes by hearing and hearing the word of the circumstances. I'll say it again. It's just free of charge. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. Doubt comes by hearing the circumstances. Forget the circumstances are subject to change. Just rearrange it.
Configuration is a difficult word. You know, it sounds like one big university word. Just say rearrange. Every Nigeria knows this. Arrange. Arrange. Hallelujah. Am I talking to anybody here?
Just rearrange the thing. You take what the power of God from the holy, from the realm of the spirit, and you rearrange the physical. Now, I didn't finish. There's one last thing I have to say just before we pray. Sometimes the rearrangement takes time. It took Abraham 25 years. Jesus rearranged the fig tree in 24 hours. Esther rearranged the circumstances around her Ahasuerus in 3 days. Daniel rearranged his own circumstances in 3 weeks. Depending on what you are praying about. Something like the manifestation of sons of God takes years. It's not you can't do that rearrangement in 2 weeks. Another message for another day. Are you listening to me? Don't get tired with your rearrangement. But be followers of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Keep rearranging. Keep rearranging. Keep seeing. Keep talking. Keep praying in tongues and keep thanking God. And continue over and over and over and over and over until the rearrangement is complete. Simple. Play until you win. It's really as simple as that. Put one hand on your heart. Talk to God, everybody. Oh, glory to God. Being strong in faith. So you don't have no excuse anymore to be weak in faith. Talk to God. Talk to God. First of all, repent of unbelief. Be like that man. Say, God, help my unbelief. If there's been doubt in your heart, get it out. It's very easy to get it out. Just put the word in. When you put the word in, doubt flies out. That's why you need to hear and hear. Come to church. Listen. You know, I tell my kids and as young people, you know, I say, what are you listening to? Say, listen to music. I say, what kind of music? Christian music. I say, that's not Christian music. I say, yeah, I know it's Christian music. I say, go and listen to music that will minister the word so that faith will be coming. I listened to David Ingalls. When I was a young Christian, that was what I was doing. I was listening. I had Kenneth Hagin's tapes. I was listening. I had a Walkman. I put it on my something, you know, in the car, you know, on the road, and all that. That within a year, I had completely changed. My whole mindset had changed. Listen to rap. These, I wasn't one of those people. DJ, what do they call them? You destroy your faith. That's why your faith is not strong. Listen, there's good music, but make sure it has the right lyrics that will minister the word. Am I talking to anybody here? Listen, put the word on. Put the word on so that the faith comes by hearing. That's how you stay strong in faith. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. What then shall we say to these things? We're bold. We're strong. For the word of God is with us. We're bold. We're strong. For the Lord our God is with us. We are not afraid.
We are not afraid.
We are not dismayed.
We are not dismayed.
We're walking in faith and victory. We're walking in faith and victory.
For the Lord our God is with.
Now shout it, we're bold.
We're bold.
Hallelujah.
We're strong.
For the Lord our God is with.
We're bold. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
We're strong.
In faith and victory.
We are walking
in faith and victory.
Raise your other hand to God. Now you can pray in faith. Glory to God. Now you understand what you're doing. You're playing games around the whole place. Say, Father, we confess our sins and so clean with the blood from all unrighteousness. In Jesus' name, we have life. Lord, have mercy on us as we pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word that has come to me this afternoon, reminding me that you want me to stay strong in faith, by staying strong in seeing the invisible, staying strong in speaking your word, staying strong in praying in the spirit, staying strong in giving you thanks for making all these other things work. Father, have mercy on me. Help me to henceforth no longer be weak in faith, but to stay strong in faith, in Jesus' name. Nekatalamakrudo fredes, liranas tu fredes, zelamangardo fresh, zofredeka, lambrikito fredes, lambrikito koshala, lingertulomatulomangaras, zefredeka, nombrikitolomasha, lambrikamatulomato fredo freshi, nombrikamatulomakakromato freshi. Zofriga kakroma, toloma kakroma, toloma tofrido frido frishe, zifridi fre, langar doloma shalakar, zafre, lambreka toloma shalokar dofre, zofridis, lambre doloma oros, tufridingaras, toloma shalakaras, zofridias, nangara grama tofres, jekefer karto, lambre dofres, jikito frenes, lambre des, shofridis, langaras, jalopride lamaras, Zofridiga Renos, Lombridilias, Tofridingaras, Nangir Dolomas, Zifrides, Toloma Shala, Ningir Dolos, Tola, Tufrines, Ningir Dallas, Sofre, Nofrides. In Jesus' name, keep your hand on your body. We're not going to pray for our healing. Same faith principle. It works for anything. Healing, deliverance, husband, wife, contract. That's all right too. Amen. And most importantly, it was for perfection. That's the one it was actually giving you to work for. All those other things, I was Jara. Are you listening to me? Now, this healing is very important. Man, sure, you can face the fact, but you are rearranging it. And keep thanking God. Very important chain in the faith link. Link in the faith chain. Say, Father, we confess our sins. So clean with the blood from all unrighteousness. In Jesus' name, we have life. Lord, have mercy on us as we pray. We say, by the stripes of Jesus and his resurrection life and power, we are healed. I've been healed because Jesus himself took my infirmities and bore my sicknesses. So sickness has no legal right in my body, and I will not allow it. And so I say, I am healed and I live in divine healing and health. I release resurrection life and power into my body, from the crown of my head to the soles of my feet, into my heart, my kidney, my livers, all my internal organs, my blood vessels, into the DNA of every cell in my body, so that it operates error-free. Into my immune system, so that it operates error-free. I say, I keep the laws of hygiene and natural medicine, of diet, of physical exercise, and of rest. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, pray in tongues on that foundation of faith. Zephre, building up yourself on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Zephri katala mashal, lambriketofris, lopridia, yiketofridias, lombragatosko, lambrigamatulo matulo matufridufreshe, jekike klamatulo matufreshe. Zofrika kakakakron, tolomatufri dufreshe, Zafre, Angagangamatolomatolomastufri dufreshe, Zufrinis, Zofridis, Lopredeles, Zifridis, Langaras, Jeketofres, Lofridis, Naturas, Jikitoros, Nofridis, Langaras, Jeketofrines, Lombrodeles, Nofridis, Lombrodelos, Nofridiles. Lenga tolomas tufredes, zofridilis, zengaras, sofrenenges, lekaritos kufrinis, lombrala, sofredesk. In Jesus' name, join hands with somebody. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you. The Lord God gives you peace. God makes you head and not tail, above only and not beneath. Everything you set your hand to is successful. You're at least 10 times better than your peers. You possess the gates of your enemies, even the gate of death. So you will live and you will not die. You will live and declare the glory of God in the land of the living. With long life will God satisfy you and show you his salvation, even the perfection and the fullness of Christ. So the Lord imparts unto you the anointings of Enoch, Abraham, Joseph, Moses, Joshua, Ruth, David, Elisha, Daniel, Esther, Paul, and John. In Jesus' name, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the sweet fellowship of the blessed Holy Spirit rest and abide with us now and forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn up and say, you strong in faith. God bless you. Have a great week. Stay strong.